We now turn to Holy Scripture, and we will read from Psalm 66. Psalm 66. We will read the whole chapter. The text is verse 16. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth hath spoken, when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings, with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. And thus far we read the holy, inspired word of God. The text is verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Do you witness to fellow believers? We often talk about witnessing to unbelievers, to those who don't know Jesus Christ. And that's important. God uses the witness of his people to bring men to himself. He uses that witness to bring someone to church where they hear the call of the gospel to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. He works in them mightily through that gospel to repent and believe and to serve the Lord. So it's important that we witness to those who don't know Jesus Christ. Many passages speak of that. But what about witnessing to those who do know Jesus? What about witnessing to fellow God-fearers? Do we speak to them about what God has done, what he is doing, what he will do? Or are we shy about that? Do we rarely speak of those things in front of members of the church, the fellow God-fearers? In Psalm 66, the psalmist speaks of witnessing to fellow believers about the wonderful works of God. In this psalm, again and again, the psalmist is bringing up, the psalm writer, that is bringing up what God has done. In verses 3 through 6, he speaks of how God had brought the Israelites forth out of the land of Egypt. An amazing work. In verses 7 through 12, the psalmist speaks of how God is with his people in the midst of trials and troubles. making those trials even serve for the good of his people. In verses 19 through 20, the psalmist reflects upon the truth that God is the one who hears and answers prayer. Now, in the midst of all that, in the midst of him speaking about the wonderful works of God, the psalmist says in verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Come and hear this, fellow God-fearers, fellow members of the church, and I will declare what he has done for me. And believers in Jesus Christ do the same thing today. We declare to one another, fellow believers, what God has done for our souls. And may Jehovah God use the word tonight mightily in our hearts to strengthen us to do this more and more. Speak who our God is, what he's done for our souls, to the glory of his name, and seeking the good of one another. Let's consider this text, Psalm 66, verse 16, under the theme, declaring what God hath done for me. Declaring what God hath done for me. 2 points. First, what God hath done for me. And second, the declaration. Declaring what God hath done for me. What God hath done for me. And second, the declaration. First, what God hath done for me. That's what the psalmist says he will declare. That's what we will declare. Now notice in the text that the psalmist says, "I will declare what God hath done for my soul." He's not going to speak of what someone else did. He's not going to speak of what he himself did by going to the temple and offering sacrifices. No, he says, "I'm going to speak of what he," that is, what God, "hath done for my soul." And notice, or we too say the same thing as believers. We're not first and foremost going to focus on what we do, what someone else does. First and foremost, we focus on what God has done. The psalmist adds, "I will declare what God has done for my soul." He's not speaking specifically of what God had done for others. That's a good thing to talk about. Speak of what God has done for others, and to praise God in that way. But that's not what the psalmist says he's going to do in verse 16. He says, "I will speak of what God has done for my soul," for me. I know this personally, I've experienced it, and now I'm going to speak of what he's done for me. And we believers today say the same thing. I will speak of what God has done for me, what I know personally, I'm going to speak about that. The psalmist says, "I will declare what God has done for my soul." Here, my soul is myself. My soul is all of me down to the very core of who I am. It's all of me down to the very depths of my being. And we say, "I will speak of what God has done for my soul, what he's done for me all the way down to the depths of who I am." Understanding those words, what exactly has God done for our souls? What exactly has he done for our souls? He's done many things for our souls. We're probably already starting to think of some of those things. Now, we're going to look at a few things, though, that the psalmist points out in the context of the psalm. The verses that surround verse 16 explain what specifically God had done for the psalmist. First, God has preserved and strengthened us spiritually through trials. God has preserved and strengthened us spiritually through trials. That comes out in verses 9 through 12. There, the psalmist says that God holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidst affliction upon our loins, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. So verses 9 through 12 make clear that God had sent trials, difficulties to the psalmist. We read, for instance, that he had been trapped by enemies. God had laid affliction upon his loins so that he really had that sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach as he went through these troubles. We read in verse 12 that thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. I don't know exactly what that means, but the idea is that enemies had their way with the psalmist for a time. It was not easy, it was difficult. But the psalmist also says that God had preserved and strengthened him spiritually through those trials. And that comes out in verse 10 of that section. He says, "Thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried." Silver is put in the fire to burn away the impurities. So what a silversmith will do is he will take an ore that is very rich in silver. He'll put it into the fire repeatedly. He'll put it into the fire repeatedly so that what's left is beautiful, clear silver. Pure silver. The impurities are burned away. Now, the psalmist is saying that God did that for him spiritually. God put him through the fire, as it were, put him through difficult trials to burn the impurities away, to burn the unbelief away more and more, to burn away sin more and more. God sent the exact trials that the psalmist faced so that he learned to depend upon God. He was in such great difficulties. It was as if men were riding over his head. He saw that he needed God in the midst of those trials. So the psalmist looks back and he sees, God was purifying me through these trials. These trials served to strengthen me spiritually. I learned more and more to trust in Him and to serve the God upon whom I'm dependent for all things. I needed Him. I had nothing of myself left. I needed Him. And He used those trials to preserve and strengthen me. Through these trials, God had brought the psalmist into a wonderful experience of fellowship with Him. Verse 12 says, "Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." God, Thou hast brought us out of these afflictions into a wealthy place. Now, what does that mean? Well, the psalmist, when he speaks of a wealthy place, is likely referring to Canaan. Canaan was a wealthy place in a physical sense. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. But it was also a wealthy place in a spiritual sense, because there the people of Israel especially enjoyed God's close fellowship. In verse 12, the psalmist is saying that God used the trials that he faced to bring him into a greater experience of fellowship with God. God used those trials to bring him to depend upon God more for all his needs, to serve that God more and more upon whom he was dependent, and therefore to bring him closer to God. So God had brought him out into a wealthy place in a spiritual sense. Really then, the repeated trials, the repeated bringing through the fire, that had served to the good of the psalmist. And we see that God has done the same with us. We also see that God has preserved and strengthened us spiritually in the midst of trials. Some of us have faced more trials than others. There's no doubt about that. We all face trials, especially the older ones. They face many. There are many difficulties in this life. Loss of a job. Cancer. Loss of a loved one. Miscarriage. Very great difficulties that we face in this life. When you receive the news about those things, it's like the psalmist says, it's as if God has laid affliction upon your loins. You feel it in the pit of your stomach. It's hard to hear. But in all these trials, God has been proving us. He's been testing us as silver is tried by fire. God has used these trials to purify us spiritually, to burn away the unbelief more and more, to burn away sin more and more. He's used these trials to make us see that we need Him. We need Him for everything. And He's used these trials to bring us to serve Him more and more, the God upon whom we are dependent. We maybe couldn't see at the time why something happened. Maybe still today there was a trial in your life you look back at and you still can't totally understand why things had to happen that way. But we do know. We do know that those trials do serve to our good. They do serve to strengthen us spiritually. We do know that God makes all things work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You notice in the psalm, in that section, verses 9 through 12, again and again it says, Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon us. That's God doing that. It's also our Father. Our Father for Jesus' sake. Our covenant God who makes those things serve to our good. And through these trials, Jehovah has increased His fellowship with us. He has. We know more clearly our need for Him. We seek to serve Him more and more. We are brought closer to Him through these trials that He sends. That's what God has done for our souls. He did that for the psalmist. He's done that for us. He's brought us. He's strengthened us and preserved us spiritually through trials. But there's more. The psalmist speaks of more things that God has done for his soul. Another thing is mentioned in verses 19 and 20, and that is that God has heard our prayers. God has heard our prayers. Verse 19 says, But verily God hath heard me, He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. The psalmist had cried out to God in prayer. When he was facing trials, he saw that he needed God to provide what he stood in need of. He needed Him. He cried out to God that God would provide for him physically. He cried out that God would provide for him spiritually, working in him not to curse God in the midst of those troubles, but to grow in trust in Him. And as verses 19 and 20 say, God heard that prayer. He answered it. God was with him, providing exactly what he stood in need of. God did provide for him what he needed physically. God was with him spiritually, working in him even to write this psalm in response about God's care for him, to God's praise and glory. God was with him. He answered his prayer. And God has also heard our prayers. You think back on your life and on the times of difficulty that you faced. There was nowhere else to turn. You got on your knees, you prayed, you wept. And God heard and answered that prayer. You couldn't go on anymore physically. You could hardly get up. But God provided what you needed to keep going. And God provided what you needed spiritually so that you didn't curse God, but you said, Oh God, Thy way is good. I trust in Thee, the only true God, and my Father. When struggling with a sin, you cried out for forgiveness. You cried out for strength to serve God. And God answered that prayer too. You think of all the times we've cried out to Him for forgiveness, and He makes us to know in our conscience that we are forgiven. Jesus Christ has taken away those sins. We cried out for strength to turn from that sin, and God has made us, He's answered that prayer, making us to see the folly of it, to hate it more and more, to serve Him. That's what God does for our souls. He hears and He answers our prayers. What a God He is. The greatest thing that God has done for our souls is this. The greatest thing that He has done for our souls is sending Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. The psalmist knew that. The psalmist knew that the greatest thing that would ever be done for his soul was the sending of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And we know that he knew that because of what verses 13 through 15 of Psalm 66 say. In those verses, the psalmist speaks of going to God's house to offer burnt offerings, and to offer rams, and to offer bullocks. Now the psalmist did that with his eyes on the Lamb of God to come, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He did that looking ahead to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ would make on the cross. The psalmist believed that God was sending the Lamb. And the psalmist knew that on that basis alone, God was always with him in love. On that basis of what the Messiah would do in taking away his sins, God heard and answered his prayers, provided for him spiritually. On the basis of what the Messiah would do in taking away his sins, God was giving him the spiritual strength to serve him and preserved him spiritually. The psalmist knew that God was sending the Savior for him. And we know the same thing. The greatest thing that God has done for our souls is sending Christ to take away our sins. It's on that basis that God is always with us in love, that He hears our prayers. It's because of what Christ has done that God forgives us, that God strengthens us to put away sin, to hate it. The greatest thing that God has done for our souls is sending Christ. And He also is with us in the midst of trials, and He hears and answers our prayers. Those are some of the things that God has done for our souls. Now, we are to declare it. We are to declare that. What exactly does it mean to declare what God has done for our soul? That word declare in the text, the psalmist says, I will declare what God has done for my soul. That word declare means account. To give account. The idea of that verb is that one first carefully thinks about something and how much of it there is, and then tells others about it. It's like taking inventory and then giving a verbal account of what you have. Companies do that. A business, for instance, every so often takes inventory. They look at their warehouse, what they have in stock, and how much of it there is, and then they give an account of that. Well, that's what the believer does in a certain sense. We take spiritual inventory. We think upon, we look back upon what God has done for our souls, how much He's done, and then we tell others about it. We give that verbal account. The psalmist said that he would declare what God has done for his soul as one who had taken that spiritual inventory, as one who had thought upon what God had done for him. That's evident from the whole psalm that the psalmist had really thought about these things and meditated upon God's work. In verses 9 through 12, he's speaking of those trials that he went through and God's care for him in the midst of those trials. In verses 19 and 20, he's speaking about the fact that God had heard and answered his prayers, the prayers of a sinner, for Jesus' sake. He had thought upon these things. And God had worked in him to meditate upon what God had done for him. And by God's work in their hearts, believers today do the same thing. Believers today read the Word often. And believers are reminded in the Word what God has done for their souls. They're reminded even today in the preaching at God's house, they're reminded what God has done for their souls. They pray over those things, thinking upon it, meditating upon it, thanking God for that work. And then they're ready to go and declare that verbally, to tell others about it. That's what the psalmist did. The psalmist says in verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what God hath done for my soul. He was so amazed at what God had done for him that he called other men to come and hear about it, to come hear him speak about it. And the psalmist certainly spoke. There's no doubt he pointed out to them the wonderful truth that the Messiah was coming, and the truth that God is with his people in the midst of trials, and that he hears their prayers. And believers today who have taken inventory of what God has done for their souls, they also can and they do declare what he has done. When we think upon these things, we truly meditate upon it. By the grace of God, we are amazed at who our God is to us. And we say the same thing the psalmist did. We say, come and hear, all ye that fear Jehovah, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. And we speak to them. We verbalize to them the truth about Christ, what he's done for us. We speak about those trials and his care. We speak about the answering of prayers. So children of God, do that. Take that spiritual inventory, thinking upon, meditating upon what God has done for your soul. Do not think that you will be ready to speak of what God has done for you to others when you never think about that. When all you do is think upon the things of the world, and not even wrong things in and of themselves, but when all you do is think upon those things, you'll not be ready to declare what God has done for your soul to others. So think upon those things and also pray. Pray for strength. Don't think that you will be ready to make this declaration to others in your own strength. You won't be ready. So meditate upon what God has done for your soul. Pray over it and speak. That's what declaring what God has done for me means. Now, to whom do I make that declaration? Really, this declaration of what God has done for my soul is to be made to all men. We are to speak to all men of this. But in this psalm, the psalmist is emphasizing that we are to speak to one another in the church about what God has done for our souls. We are to speak to fellow God-fearers too. Verse 16, we read, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Fearing the Lord is what the church does. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, we read, and now Israel, that is the church of the Old Testament, now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Those who fear God are those who stand in awe of him and thus seek to serve him. If they fear God doesn't mean they're terrified of God. That they fear him means that they're amazed at who he is as the creator. They're amazed at who he is as the God of their salvation. And so they don't want to displease him in any way. They want to serve God. That's a God fear. And that's a member of the church. So in Psalm 66, the psalmist is saying that he will witness to those who fear God, to fellow members of the church. He will witness also to others, to those who are not believers. But he says, I'm going to witness also to those who are fellow God-fearers. I will speak to them of what God has done for my soul. And believers today will witness to fellow God-fearers as well. We can do that in many places. We have many opportunities to speak to fellow members of the church of what God has done for us personally. We have that opportunity in just a few moments. In a little while, we are going to go out the doors of church. And we've just spent this time in here thinking upon and dwelling upon what God has done for our souls. We have the opportunity then to go out there and speak to others of what he's done for us. A great opportunity. This declaration can be made at Bible study, can be made at young people's. Think about the Bible studies. Maybe you come to a passage where the scriptures speak of going through trials. And one of the older people in that Bible study who's gone through a lot of trials, they speak up and they say, I know this truth. I understand it because I have faced trials, but I see that God has made them serve to my good. I see that those trials have been used to bring me to depend upon him more. making a declaration of God's great works can be done by children too at our Christian schools. Maybe kids, you see someone else going through a very difficult time. Maybe they lost a loved one. Maybe it was a grandparent. And you've lost a loved one too before. So you speak to them, you go to them and you speak of how hard it is to lose a loved one. Terribly hard. But you also say, God was with my family in the midst of that difficulty. We prayed together and we grew in our trust in Him. He was with us. He comforted us. And He will comfort you too. Kids can do this too by the grace of God. This witnessing can be done in our homes as well. You think about a father reading the word to his family. Maybe he's reading about the Israelites of the Old Testament. And he's reading about those sins that Israel struggled with again and again. And the father says, those are sins that I struggle with too. But God has sent Jesus Christ for me to pay for my sins. Isn't that wonderful, kids? There are so many opportunities to do this. We can do this too when we visit someone who has had surgery, someone who is sick, speaking of God's care over us and thus how God also will care for them. We are to declare what God has done for our souls to fellow believers. And what's the goal of that? What's the goal of witnessing to fellow believers of what God has done for us? The goal is very simply the glory of God. The glory of God. That's why the psalmist witnessed to fellow believers, fellow God-fearers. He sought the glory of God. The whole psalm is really about giving the great God who's done so many wonderful works. It's about giving Him glory. In verse 20, the psalm even ends, blessed be God. In those words, blessed means praise. Praise be to God. The psalmist wanted to glorify God with his witness so that his very words praised God. And he wanted others to hear this witness so that they were led also to praise and glorify the great God. That was his goal. And believers today are to follow the lead of the psalmist and also seek the glory of God with their witness. Witnessing to fellow believers certainly does lead to the glorifying of his name. You think about maybe speaking to someone who's facing difficulties. Maybe they're very sick or have cancer. And you speak to them of how God has been with you in the midst of the trials you face. That God is always with his people. And that person who's facing a difficult way, they say, I know that's true. It's very difficult for me right now, but I know that's true. God is using this to bring me to depend upon him more. And there you see that by the grace of God, you are praising God with your words as you witness to them of what he's done for your soul and as they speak back to you, glorifying God. Think of what happens when you speak of your sin at the dinner table or at Bible study. You speak of how, I'm a sinner, kids. I'm a sinner, but God has sent Jesus Christ for me. And those kids, by the grace of God, they think, that's what Jesus has done for me too. He's taken away my sins. Our little children know that. Together, you speak of those things and you glorify God together by His wonderful work in our hearts. So witness to fellow believers seeking the glory of God. And remember that this witness, which serves to God's glory, also serves to the good of His people. So that it serves to build up His people who are listening in their faith and trust in God. It serves to build them up in a desire to serve God, the great God. In the last place, regarding the declaration of what God has done for me, how does the believer declare what God has done for him? How does he do this? Well, the psalm indicates that the believer does this enthusiastically and often. The psalmist recognized what God had done for him. And he was so grateful, so amazed, that he enthusiastically declared what God had done for his soul. You notice, verse 16, there's a command there. The psalmist is not saying, please, I really, really hope that you can come hear what God has done for my soul. He doesn't do that. He gives a command. He says, come and hear what God has done for my soul. You don't have an option. Come and hear. I'm enthusiastic about it. I'm not ashamed. I want to speak about it. The believer today is also to declare what God has done enthusiastically. Don't be ashamed. God has sent His Son for us. He's taken care of us in the midst of trials. He sent the exact trials that we needed to serve to our spiritual good. He's a wise God. Recall all of that and speak enthusiastically of what He's done for your soul. And may that enthusiasm even be contagious so that others hear it and they're enthusiastic too about what God has done for them. Now, connected with that idea of declaring what God has done for our souls enthusiastically, understand that we are also to do this often. When you're enthusiastic about something, you do it often. You want to do it often. But understand, it's not easy. And you know this, it's not easy to speak of what God has done for you personally. Not easy to do that often. Just ask yourself tonight, do I speak of what God has done for my soul? And do I do that often? And if we are honest with ourselves, and we are, by the grace of God, we say, I don't speak of what God has done for my soul as often as I should. In fact, I'm often shy about it. I'm very willing to speak often about sports, about my work, about my children, about the weather. I'm willing to speak about a lot of things, but I often shy away from speaking of what God has done for my soul. Ask yourself why. Why do I not speak freely of what God has done for my soul to others, and often? Maybe we have not been meditating upon what God has done for us. We've not been thinking about it, so when the opportunity comes, we're not ready. Maybe we are afraid that if we speak of what God has done for us personally, we will sound proud or like a goody-goody, and that won't sound very good to others. Maybe we are afraid that if we speak of what God has done for our souls, then there might be an awkward silence that follows. Maybe you've had it where you spoke about the sermon after church one time and the other people in the circle, they heard what you said, but they didn't really respond. It was kind of an awkward silence. They might have been thinking about what you said, but you were a little uncomfortable about it. And you think, if I speak of what God has done for my soul, that's the same thing that's going to happen. Speaking of God's wonderful works to fellow believers can be hard. There's no doubt about that. But let's do that, and let's do it often, seeking the glory of God. Speaking about sports, and speaking about the weather, and speaking about our jobs and our children, that's not wrong of itself. But speaking of those things pales in comparison to speaking about what God has done for our souls. Speaking of what God has done for our souls brings glory to His name. And that's a wonderful thing. Our God is so good to us. So do not fear that you will sound like a goody-goody if you speak of what God has done for your soul. Don't fear that there will be an awkward silence. Don't fear that you might not explain everything just the right way. Think of who our God is to us and speak of what He's done for your soul to others, seeking His glory. Do what the psalmist did. Let's take that spiritual inventory this week. Every day, meditating upon what He has done for our souls. There's many, many things. Think upon it. And then do what the psalmist did and declare it. to the glory of His name and the good of the church. And pray for strength to do that. It's very obvious, very clear that of ourselves, we will never do this. So pray for strength. And may He grant that strength. May He even work through the word that was brought tonight to bring us to do this, seeking His praise. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, Thou hast done marvelous things for our souls. Thou hast sent Jesus Christ for us to save us from our sins. Thou hast preserved and strengthened us spiritually through trials. Thou hast heard and answered our prayers, even the prayers of us sinners, for Jesus' sake. And so much more Thou hast done. Lord, may we go forward thinking upon those truths, meditating upon it, and may we declare to others what Thou hast done for us, seeking Thy praise and the good of the church. Lord, we need Thee. We are dependent upon Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.